podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Great to be back in Singapore after 2 weeks of travel and movement. I want to greet all of you a very happy Easter. And before we get into the word, I want to acknowledge what Pastor Larry talked about. I flew into Manila to attend the wedding and the board meeting and some ministry duties back there, and came back here to attend Preston Matsuwaki's beautiful wedding with his beautiful bride, Andrea. All told, it was an amazing wedding. It was glorious. It was something that, as he pointed out, honored God. And that's what we look forward to. We don't just want religion. We want something that works on day-to-day life. We also had a member of our church get engaged yesterday. This is Rachel Oh getting engaged to Winjin, and apparently this happened yesterday. And thankfully, the guy had the sense to do it yesterday and not today, because it would have been April Fool's, which is not a good time to propose. So this is real. This is not a joke. This is not fake news. She actually said yes. So when you see them in the hallway, please do congratulate them. Today is Easter Sunday, one of the most important facets of the Christian faith. My goal this morning is to help you understand, if you do not understand, why we celebrate Easter. And for those of you who understand, my hope is that you will not just understand Easter, but at some point appreciate it. There's two kinds of people in this room today. There are those that are Android users, amen? And there are those who are Apple users. And that's in the realm of the physical, the realm of the digital. In the realm of the spiritual, there are two kinds of people here this morning. There are the unrighteous, and we are using the Apple logo for the unrighteous. After all, they were the first ones who bit the apple, amen? And then there are the self-righteous, okay? There's two kinds of people in the room. Now, the self-righteous, so it was unfair. We were discussing this, and some of the guys felt it was unfair to label the Apple users to be unrighteous and self-righteous. So we said, let's just do a logo check. So we did a check on a logo, how it would look like for an Android to be self-righteous. It didn't look quite right, and said, how does the Apple look like? And if it still didn't look right. So we challenged that and said, let's flip that. Let's look at the unrighteous and self-righteous and said, what does a self-righteous Apple logo look like? I said, maybe if we remove the leaf and made that hole and put a halo, then it works. Amen? Don't you think? But really, what really works is this idea of the unrighteous. How do you mean that really looks good? Setting the unrighteous and the righteous and the physical and the digital and stepping into the more serious realms of really, there are two kinds of people in the room today. And there's a third, which is the righteous. Self-righteous means you're attempting to make this happen on your own self. The unrighteous is, and this is how you understand Easter. The self-righteous will always say, I will do the right thing. The unrighteous will always say, I won't do the right thing. But regardless of which side of the fence you're in, the reality is, much as you want to and will it, the fact is, I can't. There are things that I can will. I can go to church, I can pay my tithes, I can do all of that stuff, but the envy part, the pride part, the looking at the wrong things part, some of that I really can't, even if I tried very hard. That's what Easter is. That's what a self-righteous person is. He thinks he can will it. And after, at some point, if you will be honest with yourself, there's just some things you can't. And so you pendulum to the other side of unrighteousness. And then you realize that, you know, I shouldn't, because I should do what's right. And so you pendulum back to self-righteousness. This is pretty much many people in the room. The unrighteous are really no different. After a while of rebelling and doing the wrong stuff, they'll say, I should do the right thing. I shouldn't tell a lie. I shouldn't steal. I shouldn't treat women the way I treat them. I shouldn't. In other words, at some point, we get convicted, regardless of how unrighteous we may be, and refuse to follow God. There's a level of I should, and then it becomes I will, which now pendulums us to being self-righteous. And then we realize that as much as we want and try to will it, we can't. Which pendulums us back to being unrighteous. And so we find we're back to where we came from. I will and I won't. And the only way to solve it is through religious works. go to church, read my Bible, pay my tithes, help the poor, give 90% of all my wealth to the poor in the hopes that the balance will undo self-righteousness and the unrighteousness. Which brings us to why Easter is a very important conversation. Because it's not I will or I won't, it's God's will. And God's will is the story of Easter. To understand Easter, you need to understand three important words. They're found in the book of Psalm, chapter 51, verse 1, where it says, "Have mercy on me." This is David, the psalmist, praying a song. "O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression." He's crying out and saying, I can't blot out my transgression. I need you in your love and mercy to blot this out for me. Transgression is an important word. That's something that you and I have, which regardless of who you are, you have that in you. It's the idea of a transgressor. The guy who knows what's wrong and will not do it, but at some point, we will transgress. It's that moment at midnight when you're driving the car and it says, stop, no U-turn, and you look around and you transgress. Amen? And we're all different there. It's that time when you're on the internet and you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. And if your wife was sitting right there, you knew you shouldn't be looking at that, and still we take a peek and transgress. That's the transgressor that David was saying, I can't do it, I can't fix this, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, blot this out from me, I can't remove it somehow. He goes on in verse 2, he says, have mercy on me, O God, wash away my iniquity. There's a difference between these two words. Transgression is that nature in us that wants to do the wrong thing, regardless of how self-righteous or unrighteous we may be. It's just in us. Iniquity is different. Iniquity is to be corrupted. It would be like a piece of paper that had a smudge, that no matter what you do, if you photocopy that paper, the next copy will have the smudge until you remove the original copy and replace that, the following copy, and we are all from that line of that corrupted, iniquitous soul. That even if we tried so hard, we couldn't do it. The result is, he says, cleanse me of my sin. This transgressor, this corrupt being, this sinful man that no matter how hard I try, I'm going to end up playing this game. The game of the unrighteous and the self-righteous. The pendulum that swings one way and swings the other. This is your story, my story, apart from Easter. We just go from one end to the other, pretending to be self-righteous and unrighteous, and flip-flop, and the next thing you know, we're back to where we were. The only way out is not to be self-righteous or to be rebellious and unrighteous, but to be made righteous. I was meeting with some salespeople from a company, finance company. They were sales consultants, financial consultants. And I was trying to explain this idea of being made righteous to them as we were having breakfast. And we had a table in front of us. And I had my phone. Won't tell you what my phone is. And I had a bottle of water. And I had my breakfast with me. And I tried to explain to them that the water is God. And that breakfast is you. And that the reality of who you are, regardless of how good or strong you are, is eventually you're going to decay. And if you're honest with yourself, that's really who you are. Progressively, as you get older, apart from being made right, we are decaying every day, not just physically, but spiritually. And so we attempt to reach God by religious works, by good works, by giving, by our own performance. And it seems to not work, so we try to move it forward, we keep moving it, and we keep moving and moving, and somehow it doesn't work. It just pendulums us back and back and back to where we came from. It's just the never-ending struggle to get there as we pendulum back. The Bible bears this out in the words, for there is no distinction. There is no Android or Apple in God's kingdom. There is no self-righteous or unrighteous. There is no distinction. All have sinned. Everyone has something that's transgressive in them, and all of them are all corrupt and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way to reach God. This is the Easter story, which is why Christians celebrate it, because it's a celebration of the reality, I can't do it, but God so loved me, He sent me His mobile phone in Jesus, the righteous one. This was not how I was telling the story to these business people. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The big question really is not even that. The big question is not even that He gave Him, gave us Jesus, is how He gave us Jesus. Easter. He sent His Son not just to save us from our sins, but He sent His Son to die on a cross, to pay for our sins. Some people ask, if God is really a forgiving, loving God, then why does He have to count our sins? The reason why is because of justice. It would be like if somebody raped your daughter, and you told that person, you know what, if you're so loving and forgiving, could you just forgive? Then there won't be any justice. If there was real sin and iniquity and corruption, then someone has to pay the price. And God knew that in our corrupt beings, none of us was worthy to pay the price, and none of us was capable of paying the price. And hence, there was only one way to go. That He Himself would take the form of a man and come to earth and die and pay for the penalty of everybody's sins. So that we can understand His mercy and His unfailing love. When David wrote this, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. Nathan had told him that he had been guilty of adultery. Not just adultery, he was guilty of murder. He had killed the husband. If you knew the story, it was a bad story. David was a king, and he saw this woman taking a bath. And he wanted her for himself, and he picked her up and had relations with her, intimate relations with her, and she got pregnant. And so he tried to get her husband to come back and get him drunk. He was so sinister, so evil. He tried to get them to sleep together, but the guy was so loyal to him that he wouldn't do it. So finally he had no choice. He had to ask the commanders of his army to set this guy in front of the war and have him killed. Sin progresses to sin. All our self-righteousness, unrighteousness, all our pendulum works will not work. It'll just lead to worse things. David continues in verse 5 where he says, surely I was sinful at birth. This is important if you're going to understand Easter. That no amount of self-righteousness, no amount of trying can fix this. We are sinful from birth. And David knew this. After he saw that wickedness, he realized, wait, this has not just happened now. This happened from the time I was born. Sinful from the day my mother conceived me. I'm corrupt. I'm a transgressor. Hypocrisy is when we try to pretend that we're not self-righteous. Or that we are able to do things. And the truth is, from birth, every single human being falls short of the glory of God. And out of His great love, He sends us a Savior. Verses 9 and 10 says, hide your face from my sins. He was kind of like this embarrassed, eerie, icky, just hide. God, don't even look at it. It's so ugly. If you can't see the nastiness of your heart, you probably will never understand Easter. If you can't see how wicked we are on the inside, Easter would probably be just another tradition to you. If you would understand what David was saying here, Easter will be a daily affair for you. But you know how much you need God. He says, cleanse me of a pure heart. Here's what we do. Unrighteousness is conforming to the patterns of this world. We conform. This is the way the world does. Most of them do it anyway. So I'm just going to conform. I'm not that bad. Everybody else is doing this. And then there's the guys that are self-righteous and they don't conform, they perform. I'm going to make this happen. And then there's the self-righteous and the unrighteous who know they can't, but they should, so they reform. Either one of those is going to fail you. You conform to the patterns of this world, you'll be destroyed. You perform, you will fall short. You try to reform, you're just going to be pendulum back and forth. And God says, I want to transform you. To create in you a new and pure heart. David, in this way, is acknowledging, I can't do it. I can't do it. I need you to come through for me. I need you to create this thing. I can't just shape this. I can't just wash this. I can't just blot it out. You need to come in and do the miracle work of recreating a pure heart in me. I'm incapable, he's saying. Oh God, renew a steadfast spirit. If I have that, then I won't pendulum back and forth. I will be steadfast in my spirit. I don't have to go from being guilty and not guilty and perform and reform and perform. I'm not going to go there. It's tiring. Hello. That's why religious people are always tired. Some of you look very tired today. Because you're trying to perform. You're trying to reform. You're trying to, and some of you just, I just conform. I mean, I can't do anything. Everybody's bad anyway. He says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of you who have been Christians for a long time need to have to hear this morning. That's what Pastor Larry was crying about, the joy of that. That I was lost, that I'm a sinner, that I'm a transgressor, that I'm corrupt, yes, that I have the nature of a sinner, but he has restored me. And saved me. And he's granted me a willing spirit. I'm willing to do it. This is the Easter message. The Easter message is, God, I'm willing. Because of your great love, because of what you did, I can't imagine why you would do such a thing. It will sustain me. Remember the day that this really hit me hard. Because I've been a Christian for about 33 years now. I mean, not Christian as in Christian name, but Christian. Walking with the Lord, knowing I'm a sinner. But sometimes you kind of forget this reality. Remember the day that I bought my wife a dog. I bought her a little shih tzu. We were empty nesters and we needed a baby. Amen? Bought this dog and I didn't really like dogs, but eventually I fell in love with this dog. His name is Vito. Named after Vito Corleone of The Godfather. And I remember taking this dog for a walk, and now whenever I'm in Manila, he sleeps beside me. And I've literally fallen in love with him. Remember the day I was taking a walk? This is not the actual walk. This was when I was on vacation with him. I was taking a walk, and I remember the Holy Spirit saying this to me, you know, Joey, do you love Vito? I said, God, yes, I do love Vito. I just, you have no understanding. You've changed my life by changing my heart, by creating a pure heart in me to love dogs that I hated before. I don't like the barking and the pooing and the smell, but somehow you've created in me a pure heart. I remember this day I was walking and all of a sudden, you love him. Yes, I do love him, God. You're willing to do anything? Yes, God, I'll buy him the pet toothpaste. I'll buy him the right bag. I'll buy him everything. And he said, the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to speak. And he said, that's you and me, except if there's a big difference between you and him, Multiply that by a few billion times. You're the dog, and I'm Joey. And I love you so much that I became a dog so you can understand who I am. And I remember this question that he posed to me, would you be willing to be a dog for Vito? And I'm walking, I thought, not be able to talk again, and all I can say is, woof, 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 no. Would you be willing to be a dog to Vito where somebody's dragging you in a collar and decides where you go and who you go or who you sleep with or where you sleep? Would you be willing to be a dog to eat the slop that you feed him? Would you be willing to be a dog that he can only bathe when you choose to bathe him? Would you be willing to be a dog when someone can kick you, when you're so powerful and strong and so smart? Joey, I did that and more for you. I took the shape of a man. King of the universe, the maker of all things, the story of the gospel is probably one of the most powerful stories in the universe. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who has no problem, who has every convenience and comfort and power and rule, decides that he was going to take the shape of someone who could be harmed, who can be smashed, who could be slapped, who could be whipped, who could be crucified. Because he loves you so much. I hugged Vito and said, I love you, Vito, but not as much as God loves me. Because that love, folks, is one of a kind. And that's why Easter is celebrated. David said, deliver me from guilt. You cannot be delivered from guilt. There's no way out of guilt. There is no way out of guilt. You're self-righteous. You can give away 100% of your income. You'll still feel guilt. You, who are God, are my Savior. I had no way out. And that's why I sing of your righteousness. I sing of it. Acknowledge it, that I'm made right. Not self-righteous, not unrighteous, but made right. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, you do not delight in sacrifice. You do not delight in religious works, in offerings, in giving away things, in doing the right stuff. You do not delight. Christianity is the opposite. The thing, religion, is we think that we can do good things to reach God. That's not what Christianity offers. God loves you so much that he changes you on the inside. As a result of that, you do good things. Religion is you keep doing good things and striving and performing and reforming and then conforming and rather than being transformed. And because you're transformed, you don't have to perform, you don't have to conform, you don't have to reform, because you're just like that. He's changed you. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings and all of these things. He says, my sacrifice, God, my sacrifice, the thing I offer you really is not the works of my hands. The thing I offer you is a broken heart that knows I'm a sinner and I'm hopeless. That's the only sacrifice I can offer you. A broken and contrite heart. He says, a heart that knows I'm a sinner. I have no way out. Which is why Easter is so precious. On the day of Calvary, the day that Jesus was crucified, there were self-righteous Pharisees around the cross. There were unrighteous Romans around the cross. And the world was watching this. The androids and the apples were there. Amen? The story goes that there were two criminals by his side. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him and said, aren't you the Savior? Why don't you save us? He was so out of it. He didn't even realize he was actually being saved. Not from just being crucified. frankly, it might be a good idea for some of us to be crucified. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes when you're so free to do what you can do, you don't need a savior. Amen? You know, when you're stuck, unless you have a very hard heart, you'll probably cry out and say, God, save me. He thought that salvation was just a physical thing. He didn't understand this is way beyond this. The other criminal was different. He had a different spirit. He actually, the Bible says, he rebuked him. I don't know how far the crosses were. He must have shouted, but I don't know how it feels when you're crucified for hours and you're shouting at the guy, shut up. What are you talking about? Don't you fear God? Don't you know that this man is under the same sentence? We are justly punished. The justice is served on us, rightfully so, because we're sinners. We're getting what we deserve. And that's what Jesus did for you. Instead of you getting what we deserve, he did it for us, even though he didn't do anything wrong. And then he turned to Jesus, and here is chronicled probably the most significant and the most important thing you could do with your life. He said, Jesus, remember me. I'm putting my faith in you. Not in my performance, not in my conforming, not in my reforming, in you. And only in you. No more time to perform, no more time to reform. Jesus' response was, truly, be sure of this, he says. Today, not next week. You've got to perform first, buddy. I mean, you've sinned so much. How many people did you rob? Well, today, by faith, by simply acknowledging I'm a sinner, I'm corrupt, and I'm headed nowhere, you will be with me in paradise. Easter's story does not actually end there. Power of the story was that Jesus resurrected from the dead. It's the most brilliant, the most genius of a way to transform a life. That as you journey through life and you struggle through performance and conforming and reforming, you remember the Easter story. And you say, I can't, but I will, I can. And you say, God, you can. And I choose to die. Do this so that you can resurrect me to newness of life. The Easter story is so practical that you can use it every day, that as you walk in your journey and you feel like being self-righteous, unrighteous, no, I can't, I will, I won't, I should, I must, you can, God. You will, God. And I choose to die to myself. And I choose to trust in your miracle power to resurrect me into newness of life. Celebrate Easter, folks. It's the greatest news ever. One of the most powerful celebrations you can ever have in your life. In fact, don't just have communion in church. When you go home tonight, gather your children. Gather your folks. Sit down with them, break bread, and remember the King of the universe died for your sins because he loves you. Amen? Happy Easter, everybody. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands. If you're here this morning, you've never done this, and you're here, you say, I don't know Jesus. I've never heard this story. You don't have to understand everything right now. You just have to take a simple step of choosing to put your trust in what God did for you, like that thief. This is your day. Just lift up your hands to him this day. And if you're here, you're a Christian, lift up your hands in acknowledgement and appreciation of what he's done for us. God, we love you. We pray that you seal this simple truth in each of our hearts. The genius of Easter, the resurrection power of Easter, the ability to transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.